want to give you these two verses, then I'm going to look at a verse here. Remember, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. You don't have to look there. But we know that whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and coming to the Scriptures might have hope. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, those things are written aforetime were written for our admonition. So the Old Testament, now we're not under an Old Testament dispensation. We're not under law. We're now in a gospel age, a spiritual, and the Lord's making a spiritual organism, a joint body by the baptism of the Spirit of God. Now the church is a spiritual organism. But the Old Testament can be applied spiritually. And a lot of things that happened to Israel back there is happening to us today. And that's why the Lord, He preserved the Word of God here. And He don't want us to do as they did. And if we'd read the Old Testament and see what they've done as the Lord's chosen earthly people. Israel was the Lord's earthly elect nation. But somebody said, well, God ain't no respect of persons, is He? I said, some things are not, some things is. He was there. He chose the elect nation, didn't choose others. You can call that whatever you want to. If you want to get justified on the law, you had to become a proselyte Jew. Because the Gentiles didn't have any priests. The only garments of the Levitical priesthood garments. It was named the 12 tribes. So Gentiles didn't have a priest. They were strangers to the covenants of promise. So they come under that. That's why that Gentile woman in there in Matthew 15, when she come in, that Syrophoenician woman, she had a daughter that was grievously vexed with the devil. The disciples wanted to send her away. Christ acted like He didn't hear her. Finally, He said, it's not me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. For I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And that was true at that time. And she was a Gentile dog. And He said, it's not me to take the covenant children's bread and cast it to Gentile dogs. For I'm not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel now. So she got under that Israelite table. And she said, truth, Lord, I agree with You. But the dogs eating the crumbs that fall from the master's table. So He said, you can just have whatever you come for. Come the right way. At that time, she had to come there. Now, when Christ died, of course, the middle wall of the temple was broke down. The veil of the temple was rending plain from top to bottom. Heaven's blessings was turned earthward. Now we preach the gospel to everybody. You know, since Calvary is the only time the gospel's ever been preached to everybody. When He sent them out in Matthew 10 and Mark 6, He told them not to go to the Gentiles nor the Samaritans. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So you'll be glad, you'll be shouting out, you got in on it over here. Amen. Now, He is a Jew inwardly. That's a Jew now, not a Jew outwardly. So we're the seed of Abraham. Our salvation goes back to Abraham, humanly speaking. We're children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Because God made a covenant with Abraham. Now, divinely speaking, it goes all the way back to God. Salvation's of the Lord. But He chose Abraham to preserve the Scriptures and preserve the royal seed. Christ come as a child of Abraham. Son of God, divinely, son of Abraham in the flesh. Bull stock Jew. Salvation's of the Jews. That's what it says in John 4. Look what it says there in verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 1. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. So my thought now is why we haven't already been destroyed. Some reason we haven't already been destroyed. Same reason these folks here haven't been destroyed. And look what kind of shape this is in. I'm going to run through it real fast. In verse 2, they had rebelled against God. I mean, they had rebelled. They knew God in covenant relationship. But they had become total rebels. And then because of that, in verse 3, they lost their direction. Thou art knoweth his owner, thou is his master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people does not consider. They lost their direction. Same things happened to America. Because we rebelled against God, we lost our direction. And because of that, the people were filled with sin. In verse 4, they have become a seed of evildoers, children that were corruptors. In other words, they raised their children in sin. They hadn't taught them the things of God and what God had commanded and said. And so the children went bad. You know, in our day, juvenile delinquency is terrible. Kids committing crimes now. When I was a boy, that criminals didn't even commit then. And we're reaping now a whole 60 years worth of the back alleys of Hollywood. That is right. And we're seeing it now. Somebody said, what's the matter with our children? I said, what do you expect out of your children if you leave them with a cigarette-sucking babysitter and a television set? What do you expect out of your children? You're supposed to train your children the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. They can't depart from the teaching you instill in them. I believe that's right. That don't mean they'll always do right, but you instill the right teaching, and you can't get away from the right teaching your parents gave you when you was a child coming up. I believe I'll take a minute out and say, praise God for my teaching and in the schoolhouse. They read the Bible and prayed with us. Some of them wasn't even saved, but at least they believed in fundamental doctrines of the Scriptures, and they didn't turn us loose to run wild the devil, and they didn't have the ACLU in that outfit of atheists trying to come down on the teachers in the schools for teaching about God and His Word. Look on down there in verse 5. Chastisement didn't work. Why should you be stricken anymore? In America, chastisement don't seem to work. We can have tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, storms of all kind, all kind of volcanoes, and everything, and it don't seem to work. They say, well, that's Mother Nature. You know, and they've lost the right conception of God. They've likened God unto themselves. You know, about everybody does that. You'll figure God is somewhat like you. That's why they're saying now that God is so good and so loving. You know, God wouldn't be against sincere homos. You know why they think that? Because they're not against it. So they figure God is like they are. The God they worship is the God of their imagination. You'd be surprised people go to church every Sunday. It's infidels. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. They believe in the God they've figured out. That's the reason if you preach on sovereignty, immediately they brand you as a Calvinist because they don't believe in the sovereign God. God must have been sovereign when He said that there be and there was. Sounds to me like Jesus is sovereign when He walked on the water. He made the water. Amen. Let me go on down. Look here. The whole outfit, the whole nation was gone. Verse 6. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. In other words, it just become one hotbed of hostility against God and His holiness. And I think, generally speaking, that's the way it is now, all except the remnant. The reason we're not destroyed is because God left us a very small remnant. The entire nation was affected. Now, sometimes you hear our politicians say, they'll say, well, something tragic can happen. And they'll say, well, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Well, I don't want them praying for me. Somebody said, why not? I said, well, read Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So it's abomination for wicked people that won't believe what God said in His Word to even try to pray. Now, that's pretty straight. A lot of people can't hardly take that, but that's what the book says. So, there is a very small remnant of true believers that still believe in divine inspiration of the Scriptures. We're not running off after the NIV yet. We're not going to change by this time next year. You want to know what Bible the fellows are using. We believe the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. We believe the Lord gave the Word and gave it to the company of those that published it. We believe all Scripture to give them inspiration of God. It's proper for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. And brother, if you're born of the Word of God lives and abides forever. There's a few people that still believe that. Peter said, we've not followed cunning devised fables. We made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus. We're our witnesses of the imagination that was with Him in the Holy Mount. And he said, no prophecy of the Scripture is any private interpretation. Prophecy came not in the old time of the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. One man said to me one time, said, well, men wrote some of the Bible. I said, men wrote all of it. You wouldn't expect mules to write it, but holy men wrote it. God's always used men. Holy men. God used Noah, God used Jeremiah, God used John the Baptist, and God used us if we'd be holy. He wants you to be holy. One fellow accused me of being a holiness preacher. I said, well, how can I preach for a holy God and preach the Holy Bible and the Holy Ghost to a holy generation and not preach a little holiness? A very small remnant that believes in the divine inspiration of the Scriptures. They also believe in the deity of the Savior. Just a small remnant believe that. But there's a few of us left. That's the reason America hasn't already been gone, destroyed. There's a few people across the country. And you know, a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll see all the bad side. And I think you're supposed to see what's happening. But we forget there's a few here, and a few over yonder, and a few back yonder, back in the backwoods. There's a few folks that's going to serve God come hell or high water. They got their mind made up, brother. Their foot's on the rock, hallelujah. They're looking above this whole world, praise God. And we believe Jesus Christ. We believe the virgin brought forth our firstborn son. I mean, the angels appeared to the heavenly host and said, glory to God in the highest, and there peace and goodwill toward men. Honey, you this day is born to see the day of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I want to serve. Notice He is Lord when He was born. He is Lord when He was 12 years old. He is Lord when He fed the multitude. He is Lord at the tomb of Lazarus. He's Lord now. Bible said in Philippians 2 and verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he of them said became obedient unto death in the death of the cross, wherefore God highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, a thing in heaven, earth, and earth, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know what God said? Just as sure, He said, as I live, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His Saviorship is wrapped up in His Lordship. I can't say that strong enough. The doctrines false prophets deny is Lordship. Read it in Jude, verse 3. They deny the Lord that bought them. Christ bought the right to be everybody's Lord. One of the saddest things I can think of is for you to go to hell and Jesus being your Lord and not your Savior. He's everybody's Lord. That's Romans 14 and verse 9. This year Christ both died, rose to die, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living. He is Lord of all. Everybody here believe in that? Before you get saved, you've got to bow to His authority. Your heart's got to bow to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I mean, read the verses. Acts 16:31, through the Lord Jesus Christ thou shalt be saved. Romans 10:9-10. Thus thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead. Acts chapter 2, the Jews said, what must we do? Peter told them, said, this same Jesus you crucified, God's raised from the dead and made Him both Lord and Christ. Is He your Lord? That means He owns you. That's 1 Corinthians 6, the last verse. What know you not, your body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which have of God? You are not your own, but you are bought with a price. If you're bought with a price, that means He paid for you. He owns you. Somebody said, don't matter what you do. Yes, it matters what you do since you're His property. You're supposed to do what He says to do. There's a few people still now that believes in the deity of the Savior. And there's a remnant that still believes in deliverance that salvation brings. There's not many, but there's a few of us left that believes when you get saved, first you get saved from sin. See, I've said this over and over again. I've got to say it again. Holy Ghost is oppressing me. See, I remember, I was here when all this started. When heaven and hell become the major points of the gospel to preachers. They start talking to sinners and making the major points. You don't want to go to hell. Wouldn't you like to go to heaven? See, there's no such statement as that in the Bible. You didn't get that in the Bible. Jesus didn't come through and say, hey, I've got to go to heaven, get on the bandwagon. You don't want to go to hell, do you? Nobody wants to go to hell that believes there is a hell. Well, here are these wicked fellas. I used to be there. Go to drinkers and poker players. You ask them, they want to go to hell? If they believe there's hell, they'll immediately tell you they don't want to go to hell. You can read, but look, they don't want to get saved from it, but they don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven if they can go as they are. Everybody around Bristol likes to go to heaven if they can go as they are. That's why it's been toned down and toned down and compromised down so we'll let them go like they are. I'm going a little bit slow there. The word salvation means deliverance. That's what the word means. First thing that's said about Jesus in the New Testament, Matthew 1:21, that he shall save his people from their sins. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14 said he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Galatians 1:4 said that he came to deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 verse 14, I'm crucified with him. Well, when that happened, where Paul got crucified with him? Paul got crucified with him when he met him on the Damascus Road. I'm crucified with him. Anybody's crucified is dead. Nevertheless, he said, I live. Galatians 2 and verse 20, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In chapter 6 and verse 14, he said, God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the world's crucified to me, and I'm to the world. The world's dead to me, and I'm dead to the world. So according to that verse, there's no such thing as a worldly Christian. I mean, you got saved from the world system. You're not of the world. The world knows that's not because it is him not. Now, that's not proper preaching, but I'm not preaching to be proper. I mean, he delivers us from the practice of sin, the love of sin, the pleasure of sin. He saves us from sin. You can't go to heaven if you're not saved from sin. God kicked the first devil out of heaven, and he's not going to let another one get in. And I pray the Lord help us to see that. There's a few people that believe that when you truly get born again, born of God, saved by grace through faith, that you're delivered from this world, delivered from sin, delivered from self, and the rule of self, you get off the throne, and Christ is enthroned in your heart as your Lord and Savior. That don't mean you do everything right. They lie on us, you know, and says we believe Lordship salvation. That means you have to live perfect from that day on. Well, nothing can be further from the truth. None of us has reached perfection. But he is perfect. Now, every man is born of God. He don't commit sin. So in that sense, we are perfect. That's 1 John chapter 3. You can read that in verse 9. Somebody said, what does it mean? Who said born of God does not commit sin? I said, it means who said born of God does not commit sin. Says, see, the man's enemy cannot sin because he's born of God. That's the inward man's born of God. Your flesh is not born of God. You still got a depraved nature, but sin's not reigning. Grace is reigning now. See, either sin's the boss in your life or grace is the boss. That's Romans 5 and the last two verses. Before the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And that a sinful reign with death, even so might grace bring through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're saved by grace through faith, grace is reigning. That don't mean you don't make mistakes, but grace is the boss in your life. Sin's not ruling you. That's Romans 6 and verse 14. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're over the law, but under grace. Since we're under grace and saved by grace, don't give us a license to sin. It saves you from the pleasure of sin. You don't want to sin. I've been accused of preaching, just get saved, do what you want to. I said, no, if you've done what you want to, if you're saved, you never would sin anymore. So you can't do what you want to. That's Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. For the flesh, lust against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't do the things in the Spirit that you would because of the flesh. And you can't do the things in the flesh that you would because of the Spirit. You got a warfare going on here. But there's one winning. And you know who's winning? Grace is winning. When we get wrong, Holy Ghost bothers us till we get right. You can't live in sin and enjoy sin if you're saved. The most miserable fellow in town is the fellow who's truly saved, walking contrary to the will of God and doing what he should not do. His spirit's grieved, the spirit of God's grieved, and you'll see him coming down with his head bowed, getting right with God. If you go and drink your whiskey and buy your lottery tickets and go to the red light districts and all this stuff that's going on today, one thing you need, that's a good Holy Ghost dose of salvation to cure you. Somebody said, well, you're not the judge, are you? I said, no, but I'm the preacher. Right now, at least. And it does say in 1 Peter 4:17, the time's coming, judgment must be in the house of God. When you hear the word of God preached, judgment starts on you. Is it in 1 Corinthians 11:36? If we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. When we are judged of the Lord, we're checking him that we should not be communing with the world. So when you hear the Word of God, you're supposed to let that Word of God use it to judge yourselves. Don't be afraid of the word judgment. You're supposed to judge yourself. You're supposed to examine yourself. See if you've been in the faith. He turns it too low for you not to know that you've been delivered from sin. Hell's too hot for you not to know. There's going to be a lot of folks face the Lord at the white throne, and they're going to say, Lord, Lord. They believe in lordship. That's Matthew chapter 7. You can read it. Lord, Lord. Did we not do many mighty works in your name? They're going to go to hell calling him Lord. They thought it was okay. They went through life thinking it was okay. They didn't take time to judge themselves, examine themselves, see if you be in the faith. What's wrong with that? I mean, since you've got to live as long as God lives, don't you think you ought to find out where you're going to live at? I think we ought to. Ought to be sure that you're saved. One man come to me and said, Brother Mitchell, I'm a doubting I'm saved. I said, I'm glad to hear that. I've been doubting it a good while. Don't look to me to give you assurance. The Holy Ghost will give you assurance if you're saved. Faith is assurance. When you hear the Word of God preached and you hear the song, that ought to reassure you every time. It might make you examine yourself. That's more evidence. If you're serious enough to say, hey, I better apply that to my heart. See, I'm not measuring it. That's pretty good evidence. You don't ever see any of these fellows going down weeping at the altar that thinks they're okay. Why, they're not worried about it. They know they're saved living like they are. The fellow comes down with a broken heart, he's disturbed about it. He wants to be sure about this thing. God's got to his heart. Them other fellows that's got a God they can get along with good and live in their sins. That's the kind of God they got. That don't bother them. If your God don't bother you, you better be bothered. In these days, don't you think so? How could you stay in a world as messed up as this world is 24 hours and not get messed up? You're going to get messed up in this world. I mean, you're in a messed up, corrupt, compromised, and polluted world. Almost, you know, and I hate to say this, but our politicians, I'm telling you, they're so corrupt, I'd have never believed that it ever got like it is now. And the sad part of it is, if you watch that long enough, you will get to sympathizing with them and think it's not all that bad. Well, you better believe it's bad. There's a few folks and remnants still around that believe the dedication of the saints. That is, we believe in presenting our bodies, a living sacrifice. That'll take care of your mighty stress. You know, I say this, assembly, you won't run me off with you. I'm ashamed to even say I used to play honky, what they call honky-tonk music. Most people now don't know what a honky-tonk is because they got the honky-tonk at home. They don't know what. It used to be a roadside tavern. They had dances in there. And the lights was low. That's been, over 50 years, close 60 years ago. We had a little three-piece band. We'd play the square dance music. And I've been in some churches this year where they dressed more immodest in the churches than they dressed in the honky-tonks then. That's how far we've come the wrong direction. In one lifetime. That's really sad, ain't it? And that's not the worst of it. They don't want the preacher says about it. They say, well, he's a meddling. He's a judging. He's got a hate message. No, I'm preaching because I love you. You better get right with God. Hell's pumping. That is right. Lord, help us. Saints of God are supposed to present their bodies. A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. That word being separated, dedicated unto God. That's your reason, most of us. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Get your mind stayed on the Lord. Believe what the Bible says. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Go to Sunday school and church and back Sunday night and back Wednesday night. Heal yourself full of the Word of God and present your body, and God will use you if you'll do that. There's a remnant still left that believes that. Now, they want you a little on that. Not because I'm good, but because God put some Bible convictions in me. I'm so sick of hearing about Baptist standards. You think I haven't been in churches that have all kinds of standards? And when the preacher died or left, the standards changed. But if you get Bible convictions in you, they don't change. I don't care who dies. Amen. Praise God. Lord, save you from the theater and honky-tonks. Lottery ticket buy. Cussing the preacher. Playing out of church, hallelujah. He'll put a goal down inside, and you'll love him, and because he first loves you. Praise God. I like it, don't you? Cleanse yourself, purge yourself from these things, and you'll be a vessel sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Reckon you yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Try to be dead to sin. Positionally, you are dead to sin. God rules you dead to sin. Now, in your practical Christian life, you're supposed to reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin. Realize you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. See, God just can't use us like He would if we don't present our bodies and get our bodies lined up. Though our bodies are still as depraved as ever. We have blood poison. We have a sin nature. But we've got a greater divine nature inside that can bring that body under subjection. And that way you won't get mad at the preacher preaching about modesty. You'll love to hear the preacher preach. You know, it's bad when an atheistic nation like Russia is having to pass a law that their citizens can't dress like the Western world. That's what they're doing now. It produces so much rape and crime. A nation that don't even believe there is a God believes in more modesty than so-called Christian America. And when it gets that bad, the whole nation's sick. And I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to get us stirred up about this. If the Christians, over 50% of the American citizens now, are going along with same-sex marriage, who ever heard of such low depravity? You don't even say a male dog when that's a male dog. Somebody said, well, do you think we evolved from monkeys? I said, oh no, we're doing a lot worse things than monkeys would do. I mean, it's real. When you get the thing, if you're not careful, you'll settle down and say, well, they got the majority. Well, we ought to cry aloud and spare our preach on as long as we preach. One man said, Mister, you preach on it all the time. I said, at least once a day. After your kids. That bunch of perverts after your grandkids. They're wicked. They're not gays, they're perverts. That's what they are. They stole that word gay. The word gay means happy. You never see a sodomite with AIDS that's happy. That's what God called them, sodomites. It got among His own people here in the world. Back there in the Old Testament, sodomy got among them Israelites. You don't have to get out of the independent Baptist churches to find them now, too. I've been preaching almost 50 years, and I've seen one profess to get saved. I preached a lot of them, but I've seen one profess to get saved. The last time I saw the preacher, he was still going straight. I didn't know he was in there, because you know me, I had to hit a lick or two anyway. And the second night, he told the pastor, said, I want to see you and the evangelist back in the office. He's 18 years old, just, I guess, got led into it. He opened up and told us that he was gay, he called it and everything. He said, you think I can get saved? I said, well, if you're bothered about it, you acknowledge it's wrong. I said, if you think God accepts it as an alternative lifestyle, you couldn't get saved. But I said, if you want to get saved from it, you can get saved from it. But you're going to have to do business with God. You have to acknowledge God, how wicked that is. And he professed to get saved. That's one out of almost 50 years. Well, I know churches that's got piano players. Baptist church got, they know it. Sing special songs. Whole outfit's compromised with it. Oh, I'm telling you, when it gets that bad, it's mighty bad. You think God don't frown on that? You think I'm preaching rough the way God talks to them? I tell you what, it's more serious than we think. You say, well, it gets in my family. Well, it got mine too. I didn't know it. I had a cousin. He's dead now. I reckon he died with AIDS. I never had seen him until a couple of years ago. And he come in, and I asked some of my folks, I said, that guy there acts like a queer. And they said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, that's a belly leave with us. I'm getting out of here. Amen. That's what they called him. Back when I was in the military, they knew what to do with them before this bunch of perverts got to be presidents. If they did survive for 2 or 3 days and they found out there's a sodomite, they'd give them a dishonorable discharge. Now they've let the gate all down and made sodomy illegal, made bestiality illegal in the military. You know what they're doing? They're destroying this nation. You don't forget that now. Remember what this old country priest is telling you. They are destroying this nation, and that their intention is to destroy this nation. When the frown of God gets on you, and the frown of God's on this nation because of sodomy, Now, I know what Billy Graham said back 40 years ago. He said, sodomy is no worse, or he called homosexuality is no worse than any other sin. I said, the only thing wrong with that, it's a big lie. There's common sins, and there's sins of perversion. Just like there's common graces, then there's saving grace. There's common graces that wouldn't save. You take a God-given conscience to know good from evil, that's a God-given conscience. That wouldn't save you. But you can't get saved if it ever dies. If your conscience dies, you don't know the difference. See, that's what's happened to our nation. Our nation's conscience is dead. When they call good evil and evil good, that tells you they don't know the difference. And that's what they're doing back here, and that's what they're doing now in America. And who made you a judge? You know. Who made you a judge? If you don't go along, get along. You're supposed to be inclusive. Well, this small remnant's as inclusive as God is. We can't help if God didn't include the wicked. If God didn't include them, we can't include them. There's a very small remnant, and what they do. They put a dividing line between the saints and the superficial saints. See, there's true saints, then there's make-believe saints. Like there's true servants, and there's make-believe servants, true prophets and false prophets. So you have to put a dividing line there. You can't pile them all up in the same bottle. There's not many left, but there's a very small remnant that knows the difference. You know, I've said this a long time, you better watch a fellow. He don't never mention any kind of sin. You ever hear any preachers? And they never did preach on any sin, and they didn't want any other preacher to preach on it. That's a red flag. I'm not talking about browbeating people. I'm not talking about hobbyhorsing or something, just getting on something. I'm talking about they don't want sin mentioned. They think all the messages ought to be to uplift and encourage people where they are. Well, you know, I read over in the Bible, 2 Timothy 4, where Paul charged Timothy, said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. With all long-suffering and doctrine. The time will come, and that's a pastoral epistle that belongs to the church, you know. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They who? The religious crowd, the church crowd, will not endure sound doctrine about sin, about salvation, about the Savior, about separation, about service. They won't accept it to be so. They won't accept. We're there now. There's a remnant that takes that. Sometimes we might have to say, oh, me and amen, but there's a very small remnant. That's why we're not destroyed yet, and we believe it just like it says it. We might not measure up to it, but we delight in the law of God after the inward man. We know in our flesh don't dwell any good thing. We're not saying we're good. We're saying we got a good God. And we're saved by the good grace of God. And there is a small remnant that's still desiring the second coming of Christ. We believe He's coming again. We believe He's coming for the church. And then we believe He's coming with the church. Y'all over here believe that, don't you? He's coming for the church first. He's coming as a thief. Some passage of scriptures, there's both phases of it in the same passage there. He's coming as a thief. Well, a thief don't get everything in the house. A thief just gets the precious thing. You've been broke into, well, they're hunting either rings or high-priced guns. You ladies better hide all them diamonds. That's what them thieves are looking for. You know, when Jesus comes, He's just going to take the high-priced stuff. He's going to, the particular stuff, He's coming. And a thief is coming gone before you know He's ever been there. He got one to come after, and He's gone. You have been broke into, have had your house broke into, that's the way thieves do. They just get a few things they're looking for. That's where the Lord's going. When He comes as a thief in the night, He's going to call His own out. This world's headed for a head-on crash with the wrath of God. You glad you're saved? You're told rejoice in hope. Romans 5 and verse 1 and 2. Therefore we're justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're hoping Jesus will come, and we're rejoicing because He's promised to come. It's not going to get any better. Democrats and Republicans and Independents and the Tea Party and all of them. If we've got anybody good up there, I appreciate every one of them. But it's too far gone for them to fix now. The only hope we got is Jesus will come. Now, they're propping it up right now and trying to, you know. And it looks pretty good. I know the economy's bad. Some people say the economy's bad. I'm glad we're looking for the Lord to come. We're told when all these things come back, lift up your head, look up, rejoice, your redemption draws nigh. I mean, looking for the blessed hope. We're not, you know, we're not in despair. Where Jesus is going to come. I don't know how bad it's going to get, but it's going to get worse than it is now. It'll be worse next week than it is this week. Unless we had a very small remnant left now, we'd have already been overthrown. I'm glad we got a few folks left. There's a few preachers left around. There's a few saints left around. And their motive is to do right. We might not always do right, but we're heading in the right direction. Might come short, mess up some, but we got a good mediator. We don't have to go to Rome. Got a good high priest. He can be tough to feed by infirmities. We're depending on him to get us where we're supposed to go. May God bless you.
In the morning when the Lord shall call me, I want to be ready to go.